Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
I'm going to do a data dump of phthalic acid, phenolphthalein, and the periodic table. Now, the story behind this is that yesterday I met with Bronwyn, who is very luckily doing a PhD in platinum transport to cancers. So it's a sort of great PhD, full of U-butte things, which eventually one is X-ray diffraction of DNA, a la Franklin, what's her name? It's not Miles Franklin. Oh, I've forgotten the name of it. Franklin, the famous Franklin, who did the original DNA X-ray spectroscopy, or X-ray diffraction patterns. Horrible. Doing things like using MRI on rats and stuff like that to see how the phthalein stored platinum interacts with DNA, and it's sort of a very fascinating topic. Now, one of the things is I'm, of course, going through cognitive rehab, and one of the things I'm training myself not to do is, of course, I'm training myself all the time to memorize things, recall things, recall dates, memory exercises, lots of things like that. But one of the things I've got to remember is, in conversation, you just don't, data dump for people, because people are expecting a conversation and stuff like that. So, I had quite an interesting chat with Bronwyn and her dad, King Bill, about different topics, but, I'm still very much in training to improve my sort of social cognitive skills. But nonetheless, as Bronwyn mentioned phthalein, I sort of went back into the databanks to recall what I could remember. I remember about phenolphthalein and phthalic acid and beautiful things like that. And what I'll do now is go into the data recall. So what actually happens is I speak to someone, then I click back into data recall to make sure that I can remember things and actually review and focus things. And of course, this is much slower than I usually did before. And so that means that I sort of slow down. I have to actually switch this off and pass it off to later recall. So phthalic acid, I'll probably pronounce that incorrect, is one of the more enjoyable acids to talk about. So this is the first one. So you've got your aromatic ring, your benzene ring, with six carbons and six hydrogens, and it forms a ring, famously remembered by someone who dreamt of a snake eating its tail. It's a circle, and carbons with three double bonds or six half bonds in the center, and a so each carbon, rather than actually throwing a bond, each carbon could potentially bond with two hydrogens and two carbons. That's four bonds there, but instead it throws one bond into the ring, creating two double bonds. Sorry, three double bonds in the ring. A ring of pi electrons. And the pi electrons are electrons which sit above and below the plane, leaving its rigid, flat shape. Being a sort of little pool of electrons, it's almost like a little organic metal. And so this means it's... you play around with it, so you have a resource of electrons. So it's not in chemistry... You've got options. You can have double bonds, or you can have single bonds. Double bonds, it's the electrons all kept in the family. Single bonds, you can hang things off it. The ring of those pi electrons means that it's quite optically active. So an electric field can come along and push those electrons, which is sort of like, if you imagine it like some sort of not a Big Mac, but a hamburger with the electrons as the bun and the ring as the meat patty in the outside, so you can actually slide your bun around the place. So they're your aromatic compounds. So hexane is C6H12, benzene is C6H6. All the H's have been ripped off and the electron is, oh, I'll take it. So the carbon can have four bonds, but it has a double bond on the inside to explain it going around. But phthalic acid is an interesting one, because on you number your carbons all pretty arbitrarily, but on carbon number 1 and 2 next to each other are two carboxylic acid. This is my memory thing, trying to get that right. Carboxylic acid is a carbon with the carbon's got four bonds strictly. There's one exception which I just absolutely love this exception, but carbon's got four bonds, so one clicks into the ring. Now, if you remove the hydrogen and add an OH, that's a phenol. Great. That's a great thing. So that's your phenol, basically. But we're going to go on to making this phthalic acid. I sort of can remember the chemistry, but not the pronunciation. And so this has, on 1 or 2, carbons. So you've got 6 carbons, and you name carbon 1 and carbon 2. Onto that you hit carbons, and onto those carbons you place 2 oxygens. Now, an oxygen has typically 2 electron bonds. So you really can't, you can make carbon dioxide, where that's carbon and 2 oxygen bonds inside. If you want to do it, you've got to have a hydrogen taking up one of the bonds, or in this case phthalic acid, you've got the 2 carboxyl acid sitting up there on 1 and 2, and the oxygen on the center, rather than one oxygen's pulled off, so there's actually 3 oxygens there. So you've got you go up to a carbon, an oxygen to the left, a bridging oxygen, another carbon, an oxygen to the right, and this any link where it's a carbon oxygen. Carbon is an ester. An ether bond, and so they're this sort of delicious things, the ethers. So you can have you can have a carbon I'll have to really go through it. So you can have a carbon oxygen carbon oxygen carbon oxygen, and I'll have to go back and remember that. Or you can have a double carbon. Oh yeah, I think that makes a good plastic, that particular thing, a large molecular weight plastic, Delrin. And then so you've got carbon-carbon oxygen makes a fatty, inorganic fat, wax. I think it's carbo-wax. I don't have the actual direct recall in my head. I only have this random recall, so I can't actually see where I'm actually getting the information from. So carbo wax is for used in the casing of vitamin pills. This is great. So you want a wax which is inorganic, so it can't go off. So it's got a huge shelf life. And water can't get in, and all these aspects of it for vitamin pills and drug delivery. But why I like phenolphthalein, so it would be phthalic acid. What I like phthalic acid, because you've got the two acid aspects of it, and of course you can, I'm sure it would be acidic, but you've got this thing where if you look at it, it's got three oxygens in a row. That's a double bonded oxygen, a bridge oxygen, and a double oxygen. Then two carbons linking it that up, and that's linked onto the aromatic ring, the six-membered ring. And the great thing is that if you get this, people typically draw the three oxygens to the right and on in a row. But if you rotate the little guy around, it looks like a little snowman. That is a round body, carbon with together with the head and two little arms going out. So that's one of the things. So it's hard to say. One of the things I like doing is memorizing. Oh, that's an easy thing to memorize because you've got that back in your head. Well, that's not the way that you memorize it, but it's basically check that you memorize it. Now, phenethylene again is something which is again such a delicious chemical. It's an interesting chemical. So the aromatic compounds are interesting because you can decide to have more or less electrons in the inside by actually, if you substitute a nitrogen into one of those rings, that's got an extra it's got an extra positive charge, so that means that electron is stuck with that atom. Okay, so that's, you can start to pull off electrons from the aromatic ring by adding nitrogens, and you can change it that way. Or you can have the option. You can have more dull bonds and less bonds in the inner ring. So it's a great variability. But also you can have the variability in the number of hydrogens added, or protons added to it. That's internally, externally, with an indicator, you can do it like this. And the great thing about phenethylene is that as you take off a proton or add a proton, it changes its configuration, it changes the shape of the molecule, and it lines its antenna up. And so it can start to absorb light. So phenethylene's got this beautiful thing, it's clear. I think it's when it's very strongly acidic, it's got a colour. When it's moderately acidic, it's got no colour. When it's basic, it's orange, and then it goes clear again. When it goes completely basic, there's four phases of hydrogenation, of this protonation of it. Now, phenethylene is one of the more enjoyable molecules, simply because it's like your carbon atom can take four bonds. And so this is your Swiss Army knife. Now, there's some drugs which I'm very interested in. With, of course, my favourite is warfarin, which I like to get back to every once in a while, and the orientations of it. That's, you've got carbon. You can add four things to that carbon. So I can add this to this. I can add chlorine or fluorine. I can add an oxygen or an hydroxide. And some carbon chain, you got four options. So that's, if you focus in on that, that's your multiple thing. It would be like your Christmas tree that you plug things into. It looks, doesn't look much, but then you decorate your central carbon. Now, phenethylene's interesting because it's got sort of a whiff of the phthalic acid in it. Then it's got your phenols, and it's, you've just got, you know, nude carbon with hydrogen on it. So you've got your carbon and your central carbon. I'm going to stick onto that carbon four things to make your phenolphthalein. So firstly, you stick on the hydrogen. That's one. So you've got two, three, and four bond sites of that carbon to go. In two and three, you stick on a phenol. So if you remember, phenol is a carbon ring, a benzene ring with OH on the end of it. So it's an alcohol, you know, anything with an OH is an alcohol. But it's, if you put the OH at one, it links to the carbon at carbon three. So if you imagine at the top of the apex of your hexagon, it makes, putting the hexagon, so the pointy bits up the top, the OH is up the top, at the bottom is your carbon link to your multitudinal carbon in the center. So you've got two of those like that. And so we've got three, with a hydrogen, a phenol, all that's the carbon in the center. The last carbon is interesting because what you do is, if you can imagine, I don't know, you've got phthalic acid, which has got the two, carbon and, I can see how it's manufactured, but you've got the carbon and two carbolic acid. Imagine you've only got one carbolic acid, and that's going to be at one, and you count, or you tend to always count clockwise around like that. Those are examples in my head where you count anti-clockwise. Well, let's say we count anti-clockwise. So you'll have your carbolic acid at carbon number one, and number two, you just hook into that last carbon. Now, the beauty of this is that you can match your carbon. You've got a hydrogen and two flat rings, and the flat rings, because they're double bonds, got the pi buns, buns of electrons above, stopping it flexing. You got that with a phenol, and then rather than a carbolic acid, which you want at say number three, at number at number one, so in one, two, you're hooked in there. That just means that if you imagine you flipped it around to the side, that carboxyl acid can esterize with the central carbon. And of course, doing that flexes the molecules and sets up the orientation. And so you've got huge amount of variability from where you want to go. So, but the interesting thing is that an acid is, there's four different grades of acids. I'll have to go back into it. You've got Arrhenius, you've got the Lewis, the Lowry Bronsted, and the electron acids. You've got four different amount of acids. But if something is very acidic, it's got heaps of proteins, and it will, did I say proteins? Protons. And it means that when you put something into an acid, the acid will tend to give the hydrogens to it and make your thing an acid and turn itself into a conjugate base. Get into it. So again, it'll be interesting to understand about how you actually get the platinum bromides, how you get the platinum onto your phthalene. So phthalene is essentially a carbon with at least three aromatic rings around it, and exactly how the carbon has to be integrated into it. And in general, your chelations to hold heavy metals or any metal involves nitrogens. Well, with the exception of that FeMoCO, which I described as the most insane molecule I have ever seen. FeMoCO, I don't know why people aren't worshipping it, discussing it. Perhaps there's an easy way of explaining it. Now, as promised, I will try and add on to this recital of the periodic table. And the reason that I do that is I'm trying to add things up. And this has been a long time coming. I've gone a few elements at a time, or a group at a time, or then I've sort of get given a talk on which elements are named after their colour, which elements are named after one town in Sweden, which elements are rare earths and artificial elements. There's a group of seven elements, I think it is, which are named after astronomical bodies. Amazing. Earth, Moon, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, Pallas and Ceres are the are the things that are named. So going through it, and then as you name it, you fix it. So what I'm trying to do now is have general recall where I just sort of spring it on myself. So let's see how I go. So I've just recently, what's happening now is that I recite it, learn it, and then I look at the periodic table and say, oh, I've got that out of order. Oh, I've got there's certain things I don't have the pronunciation of. So perhaps I mightn't do too well on this because I've pushed myself through a lot of recall. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium. Niobium. Molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, silver, zinc, indium, tin, antimony. I'm going to start again because I'm not sure I said, was it, selenium? I'm sure I said that one. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start again. Just make sure that I've started again because I can't. This is the whole thing. Recall. It's enough going through, but then you have to recall saying, oh, I didn't do that because I'm about to say tellurium. I can't remember saying selenium. So, hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, okay. Bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, rhenium, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, silver, cadmium, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, gadolinium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulium, yttrium, yes, I'm supposed to say you'd pronounce it. Lutetium, hafnium, tantalum, titanium, rhenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, astatine, radon, francium, radium. I'm really going well. Actinium, thorium, paractinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, einsteinium, fermium, there you go, einsteinium, fermium, mendelevium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubnium, seaborgium, borium, mattrium, hastium, dramstatium, rotgernium, copernicum, Nipponium fluvium, Moscovium livermorium, Tennesseum, and Organosaurium. Now, what I will do, but I'll spare you of it, I will try to go backwards, but I just need a little bit of a break now. So thanks a lot for listening. I hope this has been a quick, interesting data dump. And what I'm learning to do is, when I speak to people, I go back into my memory banks to try and work out, you know, to get on top of my thinking. And of course, that means that tends to shut down my conversation skills, and I tend to just start blurting out information as I'm going back and recording. So what I'm doing now is taking stock and trying to remember things. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.